News Talk 1450 KFIZ. Welcome back in this morning to Fond du Lac Today, and it's time for one of our quarterly conversations with the friends over at Zacherill Funeral Home in Fond du Lac. And joining us once again is Dawn Nelson with Zacherill Funeral Home. And today we're going to talk about something that folks probably have heard about. Probably don't know the inner workings about, but as part of our conversations with Zacherill, we talk about all different things involving the funeral business, and today our topic is going to be embalming. Dawn, good morning. Thanks for joining us. This is going to be an interesting conversation, I get the feeling, here this morning.
Well, I think so, and I hope that I can educate people a little bit about a few things as well.
So let's jump right in. Obviously, for our listeners, we're not going to go into the full on details of embalming, but we're going to talk a little bit more about what it is and maybe some of the limitations and the history of it. So let's start the history of embalming. What is it? When did this practice start? And what's its purpose really in the funeral industry?
Yeah, so embalming has really been around since as far as history goes back, really with the Egyptians. And I know that a lot of people are aware that the Egyptians would put bodies in tombs and wrap them, and the term is mummify them, if you will. But they would use different oils, essential oils, and try to preserve the body, because they believed that the body would go to a different life, and so they wanted to keep it preserved. And so they had all kinds of different rituals, but the key piece is that they would use oils to preserve and to try and keep the body last a little bit longer. So that's kind of where it all starts with and starts from. And, of course, back then they didn't have the types of chemicals and things we do now, but it really kind of evolved over time. And embalming became something even more important in this country during the Civil War, because a lot of soldiers' families wanted to see their deceased loved one, and it was very difficult for them to do that without finding a way to preserve the body so that it would still be intact, if you will, when the body got home. Mm-hmm. And so that's when it really started to become something of more importance in this country. And that is even when the embalmers that were a part of that time would actually go right on the battlefield and do embalming if they needed to, because of the amount of deceased people that were in, areas. They just did with what they could. And so that's when things really started changing in this country in terms of embalming.
You think back to, the 1860s, the middle of the Civil War, and you talk about just the amount of casualties there, and you think you compare and contrast that time to this time in our modern day and age of funerals and embalming, and especially with a far off battlefield. Say you have a Civil War soldier from the Midwest, they're fighting in Tennessee or Georgia or Virginia, wherever it may be. It's not just an instantaneous trip from the battlefield to the funeral home and everything is fine. There's that transport back to their home state, I guess you could say, and that takes some time, and obviously if the loved ones want to have a proper funeral for them, it just makes sense to say that it would become more prevalent back in that time period of our nation's history, right?
Sure. And especially, you got to think back that even, us traveling from Tennessee to Wisconsin is different than it was then, because they had horse and buggy is what they had. So it took a lot longer to make the same trip. So that was another big piece of it that is so different from now.
It's not just a car ride on the interstate like it is here in 2021, that's for sure.
That is for sure. Then we look at embalming now and today. And essentially, what embalming really is it is the act of replacing body fluids with chemicals that help to slow down the natural processes that happen when someone dies. And it doesn't stop them, which is one of the big misconceptions with embalming. A lot of folks think that it just kind of stops everything indefinitely, and it definitely does not do that. It just slows everything down. Embalming is something that it really takes a while to learn. When you are in funeral director school, if you will, or mortuary school, It's really a two-year process to understand the chemical reactions involved with that and deciding which chemicals you choose when you are embalming based on the condition of the body. And so it takes a while to learn that and really get the science behind that so that you feel really confident when you're doing that, that you can do a good job and make the person appear as lifelike as possible. So the chemicals then, of course, you know, do what they do. And I think it would be interesting for the listeners to know that it makes a big difference the kind of even treatment that someone might be receiving before they pass away. So if someone is going through chemotherapy, or if someone met a very fast demise and nobody was expecting it, so we're talking about maybe like a heart attack or something like that, where there was a very strategic fast effort to do some life-saving, the chemicals and medicines and fluids that they use to do that, we try to know as much as we can about what happened leading up to someone's death, because it helps us decide what the best chemicals are to use so that we can get the best effect, if you will.
And that's an important thing for folks to know, because you hear about, you know, the embalming process that the average person out there might, that maybe, you know, hasn't dealt with a funeral process or dealt with a loved one or had to be that person responsible for making the arrangements with a funeral home, probably doesn't know what it's all about. And it's not just you folks at Zach Roll or wherever they may be going to, you know, starting this process without taking into consideration those factors you talked about, right?
Definitely, definitely. It's really important.
When you talk about embalming, is that like a standard process with every family you work with, every funeral that you work with? Is there ever a request to not do that? Is that happened at all in history, or is it just pretty much a standard thing that happens with a funeral these days?
No, that's a great question. As the internet has come alive and more people can do research and more people can learn. And from both an informational perspective and a legal perspective, a lot of times when folks come into our funeral home, they know a lot about the process, or they might know a lot about what their rights are, because some people will say, well, I don't want my loved one to be embalmed. And people have a right to ask for that. But one of the things that people may not know is that legally they can ask for their loved one to not be embalmed. However, legally a funeral home can require a body to be embalmed based on certain factors. So, for example, if the family wants a public visitation, a funeral home has a right to require embalming for the safety of all of the people that would be coming to the funeral home for the public visitation. So there's a difference there. There's also there can be a requirement legally if there are some mausoleums that require that if the body is going to go into be entombed in the mausoleum, that they are embalmed. So sometimes, you know, a family certainly has a lot of different rights in terms of what happens to their loved one, but then there are also things that supersede that. And so there are more and more, I think, people that come in and they would like quote unquote, a traditional funeral. And when I say traditional, I mean a casketed body, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily want their loved one to be embalmed. And it's definitely something that you can ask for and request. And based on the other requests that families have, we kind of decide together with them what's best, what's safest, and things of that nature.
And that just goes back to making the service. And this is something I believe we talked about before all the stuff went crazy in 2020. It goes back to, personalizing the wishes of the family, right? That's what Zacharyl does. And I know we talked about kind of the funeral process, I think, in one of our previous conversations that we've had, Dawn. And you know, each life is unique. Each person wants to be remembered in their own way. And as you said, more people get educated, they learn about these processes. You know, it's up to the family. But as you mentioned, there are those other limitations that kind of go with what type of funeral service that they want too, right?
Absolutely. And we really try. And, you know, as funeral directors, we really take an oath to really do anything and everything that we can to give the family the type of services that they want. So I know that we really go out of our way here to make sure that if a family wants something, we try to make it happen the best way that we can, no matter what that would be. But I also want to say that in my personal opinion, and I'm not saying this because I'm a funeral director, mm-hmm. I'm saying this based on personal experiences. You know, folks are going more and more to cremation, but a lot of folks don't know that before cremation happens, they can still have a public viewing. And I really find a lot of value. I find an extreme amount of value in a public viewing with an embalmed loved one. And the reason why is because when someone that you love dies, it can be really hard for that the head and the heart to really match up. The head knows that you've been told that someone has passed away, but sometimes until you see it, it doesn't completely click, and there's a part of mourning just in terms of the human brain. I think that it's in at a deeper level when it's really just all fits together in terms of a viewing. And I say that specifically because of one of the reasons why I became a funeral director. My best friend died when I was 15. Mm. And I was told that she passed away, but it was different when I saw her. And I was really, really looking back on it. It really helped me to process everything. I think it's a really healthy part of the death process and of mourning someone that you cared about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've all had that happen with a loved one in our lives, you know, whether it be grandparent, father, mother, brother, sister, best friend, whatever. You know, you're told that they passed away, and, you know, it is a big difference just hearing those words and then it hitting you. Sadly, I know that I've experienced that in my family too, so it's an important mm-hmm. thing to keep in mind, right?
It sure is, absolutely. It's, you know, we say that a lot of people and people that come into my office when they are dying to plan their funeral, they say, you know, you don't have to do anything. I don't want anybody to fuss over me. And I say, you know, with all due respect, the funeral is even more so in some ways for the living than it is for the person who has passed away, mm-hmm. because it really is a important process and it really helps people move forward. Not move on, but move forward, mm-hmm. you know, with everything that's happened.
Dawn, if people have questions, we talked about mostly embalming here today, but if they have questions just in general about the funeral process, how can they get in touch with the folks at Zacharyl?
They can always send us an email. Our email is on our website, which has been redone a little bit. We're pretty excited about that. Our obituaries are even more front and center. So that's most of the time when people come to our website, kind of what they're looking for. But our phone number is there. Our email address is there. They can certainly submit questions right on the website and send them to us. And, of course, we will always take a phone call and help people however we can. And we're always willing to meet with people when they have questions as well.
Very good, Dawn. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.